pastime. But I, you know, fellowship is important. It's a, it's one of the signs of good health in the Church of Jesus Christ is when people want to be in the presence of God and they want to be in each other's presence as well. By this shall all men know that you're my disciples, and we can have our doctrine correct. We can have a testimony that is very powerful and moving. But the greatest witness to the world that we really belong to God, we're the true followers of Jesus, is how we relate to Him and how we relate to one another. Amen. It's the great commandment, two commandments. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all of thine heart, mind, soul, and spirit, strength, body, everything. And thou shalt love thy neighbor just like you love yourself. Praise God. So this is a sign that God is working in hearts. Because without love, our tongues become sounding brass and tinkling cymbal. A lot of noise draws a lot of attention to us. But when people look, they're not looking for tongues. They're looking for fruit, the product of the Holy Spirit, what He can produce in our life. And love is the single most telling sign that we are the true followers of Jesus Christ. Can you say amen? If you have love one to another, not just one for another, not just something that is kept in the heart, but something that is expressed in our deeds and our attitudes, our actions toward one another. It is convincing to a world that really needs more convincing now than ever that all of this is real and that there are actually real Christians around. Amen. And God has a people. He's always had a people. And I'm glad to be part of that number that John saw. John saw you. John saw me coming into God's eternal presence in heaven. God saw you. And John saw you because he said, I saw people coming out of the north, the south, the east, and the west from every kindred, every tongue, and every people. That includes us, doesn't it? Every kindred, every tongue, and every people, I saw them coming. And I said, who are these? Who are these? And the answer was, these are they who have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Hallelujah. Folks, that's me. If you're a Christian today, that's you. If you're a Christian today, hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. So hallelujah. Amen. It's so inclusive, the blood of Jesus. There's no super spiritual saint that, you know, everybody's coming on the same grounds. They've washed their robe. It doesn't matter how many souls they won. It doesn't matter how many great works they did. The single thing that matters is that we have washed our robes, made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Can you say amen? Well, let's celebrate today and let's remember the works of His hands. Praise God. Hallelujah.
Devotional this morning, I had a little extra time, and I was just sitting there thinking about some of the wonderful things God's done down through the years. We just, you know, we get so busy, and we're always pushing forward, but sometimes it's so good to remember. And anytime I get sick and I'm in desperate need, I definitely remember the works of His hands, and I remind Him, but I'm actually reminding me, you know, He knows. He knows how good He is. He knows how great He is, but I'm reminding myself of how much He loves me and how every hair on my head is important to Him. What a Father. What a God. What a Savior. We love you so much, Lord. Is Sean here? We're celebrating, as you can tell, we're celebrating our Lord's birthday this week and next week. And the good thing is, though, we celebrate Him all the time, don't we? It's so good. But we're especially honoring the fact that He was born at this time. Yesterday we were in a meat store. We heard about it. It's a new thing in Plant City. And my great-granddaughter's grandfather is part owner of this business, and we were told about it. We just went in there out of curiosity, and there's a man behind the counter, and he looked at me, and he says, I know you, and Bobby was with me, and I thought, yeah, you better speak up real fast, because my husband is looking at you kind of funny, and I said, well, your voice is familiar, and a little bell went off, but I said, you remind me of the guy who put all our tile in and all, but there's something different about you, and I really didn't recognize him. And he made a joke about tile men. They're blah blah blah, then he said something bad about tile people. And I said, oh no, this man was a good Christian man. And then he grinned really big. And he said, that's me. And I said, I didn't know you. And Bobby, is the same thing. And what it was when he did our work, and the last few times we talked to him, he was just so just trying to seek God, and he was just so under such terrible stress all the time, and he was always asking for prayer and always trying to get, get counseling about why. Well, and now he was beaming like a light, and the joy was just all over him. And he came out from behind the meat counter, and he says, I got to talk to you. And he started telling us what God was doing in his life. And I tell you, it was just so good to see. We know God is good. We know God has a purpose for us. And we know that we have to walk through valleys sometime. And this man was talking about the valley he was going through when, we knew him and was around him quite a bit. And he was saying how God, when God's timing came, God just started unfolding everything. One thing right after another unfolded for him and his wife. And his wife was there, and we got to meet her. And it was just so good to see that on a person's face that and you used to, he was just always stressful because he was always under stress. And to see the glory of God on him, the peace of God, the joy of God. He almost started crying in the middle of that meat store talking to us. And our God is so good. He really does move in this day that we're living in. He really does. And he desires to reveal himself to us. And he does, doesn't he? Each step. But as you grow in God, he expects you to take the hard times and keep the victory too. He expects you to walk through those valleys with a thankfulness too and a praise on your lips. It's so good to see God at work. That's my God. That's my God. Oh, Jesus, it's so good to see you on the faces of you. Hallelujah. See, we couldn't say that word either. Please don't. I mean, when you listen to all these choirs do these songs, it makes us feel like. But it's for Jesus. And he honors it. And he's pleased. All right.
Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen.
Let's just do Mary, do you know?
Yeah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Yeah. All of these people that have colds are trying to hit these minors and majors and high notes, and you need the Holy Ghost to come on you to do that. Praise God. Hallelujah. I have croaked out so many songs to God and so many messages. I used to go in Monday morning to a 7-Eleven, and actually in the afternoon to get one of those big belly washers, we used to call them big gulps, and the big 52-ounce just caffeine and sugar. Can you say amen? Amen. And I would go in, and that's back when the wrestling matches, you may remember when they were in the Fort Homer Hesterly Armory. I don't know if you were in Gordon Soley down at the Sportatorium, but on when those big matches would come in, people would go and they would holler, they would scream, throw beer bottles and all kinds of things down in that armory. And people would be hoarse on Monday. And I came into that 7-Eleven and ordered my drink, and I said, she said something that said, "How are you today?" And I said, "I'm fine, thank you." Because I'd preached and prayed and sang and hollered. And you remember back at the Holy Church of God, I used to get wilder than I am now, believe it or not. but then she said, "I know where you've been." She had a big smile because I'm one of the crowd. I'm one of the guys that hoop and holler and howl, you know. And she said, "I know where you've been." I said, "Where?" She said, "You were at the wrestling matches last night, weren't you?" And I looked at her and I said, "No, I was in church last night." Boy, that just put a damper on everything. You can hoop, you can holler, you can get beside yourself anywhere at any event, except in God's house. Now, if you do that in God's house, you're one of those extrovert Christians. And the world said, if you're going to be a Christian, don't be an extrovert, be an introvert. But I believe in being a radical Christian for Jesus. I don't mean drawing attention to yourself, but all you got to do is mention his name in a public place without hitting your finger. Can you say amen? And people are going, "Oh yeah, if you stub your toe and say it, nobody takes notice." But if you reverently rejoice in your sovereign and your Savior, then suddenly it bothers folks. It makes them nervous. And it doesn't draw attention to you, but to the fact that a mighty one has come, and his birth, his life, hallelujah, is still reverberating. Praise God. It's still touching this world in a distinct, even the persecution. Hallelujah. "If you will let me, saith the Lord, I will make you like a city that is set on a hill, which cannot be hid. You will not have to try to be a witness for me, but you will be a witness for me if you follow me and love me with all of your heart, saith the Lord. And when you do, be ready, instant in season, out of season, to give an answer to all men for the reason of the hope that is within you. For I will send you to them, and I will draw them to me, saith the Lord." Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. I believe in divine appointments. Glory to God. Aren't you glad for Christmas? I don't know about you, but I look at faces, and we're getting ready to have a special song right after this song. I look at faces this season, and I'm looking for peace, and I'm looking for joy. And I see stress, and I see people expressing in their expressions the reality that we live in a fallen world. We live in faulty bodies. Most tables are not going to be like the Waltons. Amen. It's just not going to be that way. John Boy's not coming to your house. Can you say amen? Neither is that sweet little gal. I don't know what her name was, but she's not coming either. Amen. No, none of the Wilder girls are coming. Yeah. There's going to be heartache. There's going to be the facing the reality that there's a lot of hurt, brokenness, absences at tables, divorce, division in families. And there's just going to be having to face the reality that this fallen world can't give you peace. We can't have the turkey turn out like it looks in that Publix ad. Can you say amen? You know what they do with that thing? You know what they do to present them in the cookbooks? They baste them. They don't even cook that bad boy. I told you last week, they put on this caramelized stuff on it to make it look perfect. No turkey looks like that, not even you on Sunday morning. Amen. I was talking to Terry. I thought I'd get a smile out of him today. Praise God. No, we don't. That's surreal. We don't. It's not real. It's presenting an image of how it could be and even how it should be, but it isn't the way it truly is. But the way it truly is means that we need the Prince of Peace like we've never needed the Prince of Peace. You'll never find anything under the tree packaged, no matter how wondrous and wonderful it could be, that could take the place of this peace in your heart, this joy in your life. And I would just say to you today, don't let the circumstance. Yes, Holy Spirit. The enemy of your soul wants to steal your joy. He wants to take your peace from you. He wants to take your song from you. But yea, saith the Lord, I've come to give you peace. I've come to cause joy to rise up on the inside of you. Unspeakable joy, saith the Lord, that you may be a witness to the world that you know your God and your God loves you, saith the Spirit of the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen and amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Father, help us. Help us, Lord. Brother Taylor, I want you to come and pray right now. I want you to come and pray that we will not. Somehow or another, I just feel that we want to do something just a little different as we move on into this service. I've been praying for every one of you every day. And it's my walk and talk. And I bring you before the Lord. I bring your immediate family and your extended family before the Lord. I pray for you before I pray for my own family. I believe God has ordained that I do it that way. Not that I don't love and there's not great needs in my own family and life. But there's something about putting yourself aside. Losing self. In intercession, to where you're not just thinking about you and yours constantly, consistently, so that the prayer has that element of unselfishness in it. The Bible said there's two reasons that we do not receive from God. Number one, we have not because we ask not. In other words, we don't make God our source and prayer the avenue for Him to meet our needs. Amen. And number two, we ask and receive not. And every time I'm with pastors, we ultimately end up discussing at some point that there's a terrible, terrible imbalance between the presentation of our needs and the receiving of the answers. There's so much prayers going up, Brother Sean, and it seems that there are so few answers coming down. And there's an imbalance because the Bible said, whatsoever you ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive. Ask, you shall find. Seek, and you shall find. Ask, you shall receive. And knock, and it shall be opened unto you. But it's not as simple as it immediately sounds because there's a consistency and a persistence in these verses. It means ask and keep on asking. Don't ask, get impatient, and question God. That's not how you receive. Can you say amen? Ask and what? Keep on asking. Seek and keep on seeking. This is the grammar. This is the form of the Greek. It's in the continuous sense. It's called importunity in the parable that Jesus taught. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. What happened when you knock and the man says, I'm in bed, I can't get up and give you bread? What did Jesus say to do? Wow. Hallelujah. That's it. Keep on knocking. Amen. And because of his continual knocking, the man came and opened the door. You can't get impatient and start questioning God and doubting God to get answers. It's not how you move him. You move him by saying, Lord, here am I. I'm here again. How long is it going to take? As long as it takes. Probably long enough to develop your patience. Can you say amen? Somebody said, Lord, give me patience. And hurry. Can you say amen? I really need it that bad. Hallelujah. Praise God. Seek. And keep on seeking. See, you'll find me when you seek after me with all of your heart. Why did he make it that way? Because he knew the battle for our thoughts, our energies. He knew how tough it was going to be to stay centered upon Him. He said, you got to do it with all your heart to find me. Otherwise, other things are going to take that away from you. Can you say, amen? Going to distract you and defraud you from that I have promised you. Seek and you will find. Ask and you shall receive. Knock and keep on knocking. Keep on seeking. Keep on asking. There's a doctrine out there that said if you ask a second time, it is a lack of faith. Jesus said, keep doing it. Now, you've got this person and you've got Christ. I would suggest to you, in fact, I would strongly encourage you to get rid of that tape. Because it doesn't line up with what Jesus taught. He said it's the importunity. It's the continual. Because that proves that faith isn't just this quick flash in the pan thing. Faith is something that grabs hold of God and won't turn loose. Can you? Oh, remember the Old Testament? Amen. When Jacob laid hold on an angel of the Lord. And what did he say? I won't turn you loose till you bless me. Amen. And God, what did God do? Did God just say, well, I'm going to bless you then. Here it is, son. No, he said, we'll see if you're committed. Amen. And from that night until the break of day in the morning, amen, Jacob, this angel let Jacob wrestle with him. Remind me of Buddy when he would jump on Sophie. He pretended every night when they came in that Sophie was a lion coming to hurt his family. She had that coat that looked like it. All she needed was a mane. Amen. Hallelujah. I could have took her trick-or-treat and just put a mane on her and took her out. She had that lion coat. And when she would come in, he would always beat her. And then he would turn on her and pretend he was attacking her. And he'd grab her by all that stuff hanging under her throat. None of you people know anything about that. She was an old dog. But all that loose skin under her throat. Don't you be grabbing your throat, you young woman. Can you say, man? You leave that to the, you got a ways to go yet. Amen. And he'd grab her every night by that skin and just act like he was choking and pulling and growling. And she just let him. But when she got tired of it, she let him know, I'm a bigger dog than you are, dude. Amen. And she'd just give that one big growl and show those teeth, and he'd just back off. And that angel just let him do that. Amen. But at daybreak, amen, the angel let him know what he could have done. He just touched his thigh and threw it out of joint. He crumbled to the ground. He crumbled to the ground. And in that absolute weakness and dependence on the Lord, he said, your name is not going to be called Jacob anymore. It's going to be called Israel. Because thou hast prevailed with God. Can you say there's something about tearing the tiles off a roof? Praise God. Something about seeing a crowd and saying, might as well to go back home and saying, no, we ain't going back home. We're going to press on in. How, there's something about that. No wonder the devil uses discouragement as his great weapon against our receiving from God. Because when we get discouraged, we quit pressing. We quit praying. We quit seeking. We quit knocking. Can you say amen? But I just want to encourage you today. This is part of the message, I'm sure, this morning. Amen. But I want you to know that I am encouraged. I am seeking. Have you found it all that you prayed for? Not yet, but it's coming. It's coming. It's coming. It's coming. It's coming. How do you know? Because I'm going to keep on seeking. And everyone that seeks that way is going to find. And everyone that knocks that way, the door is going to open. And everyone that asks that way is going to receive. So it's coming. Can you say amen? Because I'm seeking, I'm knocking, I'm asking. Every day. Hallelujah. Praise God. How long you going to do that, preacher? I'm going to do it till He comes. But in the meantime, you have need and I have need of patience. Praise God that after we've done the will of God, Sean, we might receive the promise. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For he that shall come will come and he will not tarry. Can you say amen? In other words, when God gets ready, it's going to happen. Hallelujah. So it's going to happen in Jesus' name. Brother Taylor, I didn't mean to preach. I meant for you to pray, but you know how I am. Praise God. Hallelujah. Pray for us, brother, that we'll stay centered on Him.
Yes, Father,
yes, Lord. Thank you, Father.
Lord, help us to seek and search for you with all our hearts, Lord. Help us to get a hold to you like Jacob got a hold to the angel.
Hallelujah.
Lord. Help us to hold on and to trust you and to believe and to obey you, Lord. Help us. Lord, God, we eat all of Sula Makanda Raba Ula Yerioto. Lord, as we celebrate your birthday, Lord God, help us to eat Makandoma. God, to put you first, to keep you first, Lord God, to worship and to serve and to honor and to give to you, Lord God. Bless, Lord. Save souls this season, Lord God. We claim souls for your kingdom, Lord.
Thank you, Father.
Bless and deliver. Heal, set free, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Meet every need that's present here, Lord God. We thank you for the victory, Father, and thank you for your peace, Master. In Jesus' name, for the glory of God, amen.
Amen. Amen. Glory to the Lord. Let's sing this song, and we'll move forward in this service. Praise God. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, Jesus, hallelujah. Even as my word will not return unto me void, your words mixed with faith in prayer will not return unto you void. For I am, and I am a rewarder of them who diligently seek me, saith God. Pray in faith and great expectation, for I am listening, saith God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen and amen and amen. Glory to God. Woo! Thank you, Holy Spirit. Praise the Lord. This is not your normal pre-planned, programmed pre-Christmas service. Have you noticed? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So if you just came here to get a sentimental feeling, you're not going to just get a sentimental feeling. If you came here to have God touch you and challenge you, praise God, you're in the right. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to the Lamb. Glory to the Lamb. Glory to the Lamb. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory. Hallelujah. Soul doth magnify you.
The deaf will hear.
Hallelujah.
Oh, and the
hallelujah.
Dead will live.
Hallelujah. 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 Glory to your name. Glory to your name. Glory to your name. Glory to your name. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Oh, 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 oh. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You ever felt like praising like David prayed? Have you ever felt like dancing like David danced? Singing like David sang? Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. It's going to take nothing less than the Holy Spirit to break through into our hearts this Christmas. Nothing less and no one less than the Holy Spirit. We're used to being entertained. There's nothing wrong with the living Christmas trees where they build a choir of Christmas trees and sing carols that we've heard for 100 times and are used to. Where an audience sits back and looks at the spectacle and enjoys the Christian entertainment. But if the Spirit of God doesn't get into your heart and into your mind, you're going to go away from that spectacle. And you're going to have to live in the reality of your brokenness, your bitterness, your disappointments, your discouragement, your disheartenedness. And the devil is stealing and robbing the victories that are promised in the Word of God from the mouth of God and the heart of God to His covenant people. Can you say amen? You know there are going to be houses broken into this Christmas? Houses are going to be broken into. And gifts are going to be taken that were already placed and given and ready to be opened. But thieves are going to come into homes. Thieves are going to break into cars with packages in the back seat. They're going to bust out windows, Sean, and they're going to take packages out of the back seat. You're going to see mounted sheriff's posses riding in the parking lots of malls, amen, to try to keep the thieves from stealing the gifts. Can you say amen? I'm going to tell you the great gifts of God, amen, the great gifts of Christmas, of Christ, amen, of faith, of peace, of joy, hallelujah, of victory in Jesus Christ. Amen. Christians are being robbed. And the Bible said if the good man of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched. Can you say, man? Hallelujah. Praise God. He would not have permitted this to happen. He wouldn't have allowed this to happen. Can you say amen? Glory be to God. Amen. Amen. I'm going to tell you something. Church, where people come to worship God and to claim victory. There ought to be a people in this room that are different from a people out in that world without God and without hope. I'm not criticizing, I'm challenging today. God wants us to walk in a victory that represents His gifts to us. Hallelujah. I'm going to tell you something. Sholabaka. I warned you of the thief. I told you that he's come to steal, kill, and destroy. But I've told you also that I have come to give you life and to give it to you more abundantly, saith the Lord. Yea, when you walk in victory, you bring honor to your King. When you walk in victory, you bring glory to my name. When you walk in victory, I am pleased and you are blessed, and the world will know that you are my people and I am your God, saith the Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Folks, I want you to know, if it was just for me, if it was just for me, I could crawl under the porch. You know, if you can't run with the big dog, stay on the porch. If it's just for me and my sake, there are times I'd crawl under the porch. But it's not just for me and my sake. I serve a King, a mighty King, a gracious King, a good shepherd God. Can you say amen? And I declare unto you this morning, in spite of any circumstance in my life, the Lord is my shepherd. Can you say amen? I shall not want for whatever I need, amen, to be blessed and bring him honor and to bring him glory. Hallelujah. My God is a gracious God today. Hallelujah. He's a good God today. Keep on knocking. Keep on seeking. Hallelujah. Keep on asking. I have led captivity captive, that I may give gifts unto men, saith the Lord. Don't let the enemy steal from you any longer. Take authority, for that's one of the gifts I've given you, saith the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. Behold, I give you power and authority. I give you power. It's a gift and authority over all of the power of the enemy. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. You priest of your home. You priest of your home. You priest of your home. Quit ye like men and be strong. Act like a man for once in your life. Can you say amen? Quit flexing your muscles and get down on your knees. Amen. Shalom. I said, quit flexing your muscles and get down on your knees. Cover your family. Fight for your houses, your lands, your sons and your daughters. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Thief comes to my house. I'm almost 65. But I don't feel 65 on the inside. Thief come to my house, he's going to have to go through me. Thief come to my house, he's going to have to go through me. And it ain't going to be as easy as he thinks it is. I'm 65, but I'm still alive. Ain't no jive. My faith still thrive. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Ain't no way I'm going to just let him walk in and take and hurt what is God's gift to me. Praise God. No, I'm not going to let it happen. Not as long as I can pray. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Men of God, there was a little boy stood in the pew, and we're just going to have mainly music. The sermon's all being preached in between again. Little boy stood up in the pew to sing "Rise Up, O Men of God." What a song, what a call, what a challenge. Rise up, O men of God. Be done with earthly things. Can you say amen? Be done with earthly things. We got time and energy for everything. Amen. It's time we dedicate some of that time and energy for God, to seek him till he come. Listen. Right, and he stood up beside his daddy to sing, but he couldn't pronounce his R's. So he said, "Wise up, O men of God." And I thought, he's pretty close to right.
We need to wise up before we can rise up. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, quick flesh in your muscles to show us your manhood. But if you're a Christian, they're mighty through God. Amen. To the what? To the pulling down of strongholds. Make no mistake about it. The devil knows that you have authority. That's why he comes to distract you. That's why he comes to discourage you. That's why when you pray, everything seems to go in reverse. Because he knows if you keep it up, God has promised to come through. Can you say amen? But God is here today to challenge us. This is not your normal pre-Christmas service. Everybody say, thank the Lord. Can you say amen? There's not dry eyes up here creating smoke while they sing, "Oh, little town of Bethlehem." There's nothing wrong with that. But if you just see the spectacle and you're entertained by it and you don't hear God talk to your heart, you've got to go home and live where you are. Remember, no matter where you go, there you are. Can you say amen? No matter where you go, there you are. And if you don't have victory, you can watch the spectacle and still live in defeat, despair and discouragement. And we can no way represent this kingdom under those conditions. We have to come up out of that old pit. Hallelujah. And the Bible said that when we can reach down to others in the pit and say something they need to hear, there is lifting up. There is lifting up. How do you know? Because thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory, and the lifter of my head. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. So lift up the hands that hang down and strengthen the feeble knee, lest someone be turned out of the way. Amen. Backsliding doesn't begin with a lust for sin. It begins with discouragement in God. There's where it starts. Can you say amen? You get discouraged in God, your next step is to step away from God. Can you say amen? Backsliding is not a beginning of passion for sin. It is being discouraged in the Lord. And Job was almost there. Why don't you just curse God and die? He was at a turning point in his life. But he said, I know that my Redeemer lives. And at the last day he will stand upon the earth. And those skin worms eat my flesh from my bones. In my flesh I'm going to see him when he stands up. Praise God. Hallelujah. 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 Amen. You may be seated. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. We could have a wonderful, sentimental service here today. And the Spirit of God not get turned loose in this room and in our lives. And I've been a church-going man and a preacher for almost 40 years. Four decades. That's a long time. Looking out at people. Amen. Being involved in other people's lives. Seeing great victories. And seeing great defeats. And seeing people get very enthusiastic for a while in the Lord. And seeing them get cold and indifferent. Seeing the discouragement set in so many hearts and lives. Until it puts a blanket over the worship and the praise. Amen. And you feel it. You feel an undertow, an undercurrent. Where there's an unconscious, or if not conscious, resistance to anything that has joy and power and peace in it, because we give up on God. Well, I've got good news for you today. God hasn't given up on you. God doesn't give up on you. Though the outward man perish, the inward man is to be renewed day by day. Praise God. Hallelujah. We are so close to the coming of Christ. And we're so close to his coming to manifest the answer. Amen. Don't give up now. Don't give up when we're so close to so many wonderful breakthroughs in the Lord. Amen. My son was an acute alcoholism for 28 years. I had him in the hospital twice for alcohol poisoning, where he almost died from drinking. A young woman in England, an up-and-coming bluesy, jazzy type of pop star, at one time was a very nice-looking lady, you know, with some meat on her bones, amen, and she wasted away to where she's just skin and bone. 27 years old, She drank herself to death. Vodka bottles all over her room. One of the last pop songs she made was, "No, no, no. Ain't gonna go to rehab." In other words, I'm defiantly going to find my answer my way. I'm not going to try to get free from alcohol. I'm going to go full headlong into it. At 27 years old, she falls into a drunken stupor. Her heart stops and she doesn't wake up. 27 years old with a career in music, won a Grammy Award for one of her albums. And here she is. She's got the recognition of the music community. Whether you liked her music or not, she won the Grammy Award. That meant money and contracts came pouring in. But in her heart, she didn't have that peace. She didn't have that joy. Discouragement will take you right down. It doesn't matter what you have, good or bad, around you. Discouragement will always be destructive in your life. It will pull you down into that pit and tell you there is no way out. Why don't you just curse God and die? Why don't you just go headlong into sin and see if that will somehow pacify this terrible feeling within you? And all of it is a lie from the devil. But Jesus came to give us life and to give it to us more abundantly. And I just pray today that no one in this room will get that hard attitude that will help the devil destroy and defraud you, amen, from what is rightfully yours. I believe there are people in here that if you knew a thief was headed for your house, you would do two things. Number one, you'd call the popo. But you would also let them know if they don't get there in time, send an ambulance. Amen. Because I love the Lord. But if you try to come in my house and hurt my family, I'm going to tell you something. Amen. I got something for you. Sign on the front gate says, "This yard protected by a pit bull with AIDS." You do not want to get bit by my dog. Can you say? No, it's really not on my gate. You know, it really isn't. But I wouldn't put that out there. It's kind of unchristian to do that. But I'd rather scare them off than have to shoot them. Anyway, moving right along. Maybe I scare them off, I won't have to put them down. I'm not that kind of guy. I don't even have a license to carry, but no one is walking through my door and hurting my family and taking what I have worked hard for. Not while I can stand at that door and keep them from it. And a thief, if he be caught, what happens? The Old Testament, in the Old Covenant, what happened? A thief, if he be caught. Oh, man, there's so many thieves let back on the communities. But the Bible, oh, this would solve the problem. A thief, if he be caught. If he be caught, what's he got to do? He's got to restore seven times. Amen. We're going to put him to work at hard labor, and all his salary is going to go to give you back seven times what he took from you. Amen. Oh, they got a guy that broke into our church, took a whole bunch of stuff, and then they had the audacity, after he took, of course we got the stuff back, but they had the audacity to call me when they got him out on parole and ask if he could come to our church and do community service. And I thought, no, he'll case our church for breaking in again. Yeah. Make him give me seven times what he took. Put him out there in a chain gang like Cool Hand Luke. Can you say, man? Oh, come on. If he gonna break in my house, put him out there. Pay him a dollar a day. Until he works out seven times what he took. Maybe next time he'll think twice before breaking in my house. I don't like thieves. They called me for jury duty. And they had a guy that had broke in. And somebody caught him and he had hit them with something. So he to get away. He had broke in trying to steal something. The property owner come home and he banged him on the head and sent him to the hospital. And they asked me, they're picking jury. They don't want anybody that feels like that's really a bad thing and he ought to get some time for it, you know. So they asked me, "Have you ever been robbed?" I said, "Yes." More than once. And they could see it in my eyes. The lawyer for that guy looked at me and thought, "Oh, no. He ain't going to sit on the jury. He been robbed. He's still mad." Can you? I don't like being robbed. It's a bad feeling to come home and find somebody done took something you worked for. Can you say, man, you ought to be mad. You ought to get mad at the devil when he comes to rob you. Can you say amen? Oh, shalom, son. I said the church needs some backbone, some holy backbone. Hallelujah. Amen. They said, sir, how did you feel about that? And I said, I have no words to describe to you how it made me feel. See, a Christian can't curse, so I had no words to describe to you how it made me feel. Amen. Even Joseph is upset. Hallelujah. Amen. No, you ain't going to hurt Mary with Joseph standing there, that big stick in his hand. Joseph done. I'll give it back. Can you say, man? Walk softly. Carry a big stick. Hallelujah. Praise God. I love the Lord this morning. I want to see victory. I want to see victory. I want to see victory. I'm so tired of being tired. Amen. I will not rest until I see God's revival. I am here for it. I'm not happy until it happens. I will push for it. I will preach for it. I will press in for it till he comes and rains righteousness on us. Sean, we talked about something here that maybe I should. We talked about an impossibility. You and I, we sat and talked about something that looked so impossible that it's just everybody else has given up. And here we sit talking about the impossible. And I remember faith just rising up, and I just blurted out to Sean, and he came into faith agreement. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm just crazy enough to believe that God still does the impossible. Are you that crazy today to believe that your God is capable of doing something like that? Amen. Are you that uncouth? Praise God. Are you that loose and free in the spirit? Amen. They told Paul, thy much learning hath made thee mad. Can you say amen? Paul, you so crazy. Can you say amen? That's what they were telling him. Can you say amen? You must be crazy the way you're talking. Friend of mine, I want you to know something. This world is the crazy one. Let's get beside ourselves enough to let God move. We're going to receive this offering. There's a little song. Y'all are going to come sing. Come and sing. Mike and Mike, come and sing. That's the song. We're looking for an offering song here. We got people can sing. Come and sing that song. You said as the Holy Spirit leads, well, he's leading. Because I had something picked up and forgot it. And he said, let them guys sing. You don't need that. Hallelujah. Praise God. And the offering. Yeah. Prayed last night as well. For the family and his mother, Brother John. His mother had a stroke. So let's remember her. A good friend of ours had a stroke, and she went from where my dad is in the Baptist Towers in apartments for the elderly, and she ended up in a nursing home, and they were talking about not letting her come back, and she's heartbroken. She's a good friend of my father. She's my age. We're both just 4 months apart, and I'm just thanking the Lord today to be here and not be in that kind of condition, because it can happen to anyone. So, Father, we bring John's mother before you, before offering, before anything else today. We pray for your grace and mercy to be upon her, for your healing to be extended to her, for her to have a speedy recovery. My son has had a stroke. My dad has had a stroke. Neither of them were debilitated by it. You lifted them both back up and restored all of their faculties. And Father, you're a great and gracious God. So Father, we pray for this thing. And we pray it for Carolyn today, who we've known many, many, many years, who needs your healing touch today. Lord, no matter what she's ever had happen to her, she's always been in your house on Sunday morning, whether on a walker or whether stumbling along. Father, and we ask that you honor her today and bless her today for her faithfulness. In the name of Jesus Christ, we lift these folks before you, and we thank you. thank you for your healing gifts and power. And everyone said amen and amen. Bless this offering, the gift and the giver, for the glory and the honor of God. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's worship the King today. Service is nearing the end, and God's been talking all the way through it. Hallelujah.
I wrote the song about 4 or 5 years ago, but I want to make it perfectly clear. The Holy Spirit wrote this song.
Yeah. All right.
Wrote it because Brother Vimla preached pretty heavy through the Spirit about not leaving Christ out of Christmas. And I think we all need to be reminded about this time of year, because we get so caught up in, you know, Christmas and running around and everything. And the biggest gift we ever, the best gift we ever received was that baby, baby Jesus.
Absolutely. Yeah.
One cold and frosty morn, the Savior of this world was born. In a manger on a bed made from hay.
Yes, Jesus.
As shepherds watch their flocks by night, suddenly there was a great light. An angel from heaven was heard to say,
Jesus,
unto you this day a child is born, who is Christ, Christ the When this child became a man, he traveled throughout the land, healing the sick and raising the dead.
Thank you, Jesus.
He told of God's great love and how he had been sent from above. But no one could how one day he would die to set men free and give his all for humanity.
Blessed Jesus. Amen.
When they killed the Son of God, they beat him and nailed him to a cross. The third day he rose again and fulfilled God's perfect plan for making a way to save the lost.
Thank you, Father.
Oh, he gave his all for you and me.
Hallelujah.
Remember this on Christmas Day.
Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen and amen and amen.
Praise the Lord. Did Betty put that on the radio? Was she going to? We need to get it on there. Praise God. Let it be a blessing. Hallelujah. What a blessing. Thank you, Lord. Thank you so very much. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Lord, we praise you and we honor you. This won't take too long because we've already covered so much ground today. I've been ministering in Christmas services for almost 40 years, four decades. That's a lot of Christmases. Can you say amen? A lot of Christmases. And I'm reminded of the song that used to come on the radio when I was 8, 9 years old. I remember my pastor, he's with the Lord now. Just recently, he went to be with the Lord. And I went to the website for his memorial. And I put in that website how I thank God for Brother Joe Woodward, who pastored the Tampa Revival Center, where I was healed of cancer, leukemia. I would have been dead many, 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 many years ago. According to the doctors and the progression of the disease, I probably wouldn't have seen my 9th birthday. That's how aggressive and it was, and they didn't have any kind of help to offer me. But I was healed in a meeting in that church where this man was the pastor. He left a Pentecostal denomination who told him to shut down the revival because people were leaving their home churches to come where God was moving. Because no, Pentecostal in name doesn't mean necessarily Pentecostal in power. Amen. I mean, no, there was a church that said, "Thou hast a name that liveth, but thou art dead." And we can do just like so many have done. And we can depend on our programs, our past reputation, and a lot of other things than the Holy Spirit. And we need to depend on the Holy Spirit. I wouldn't have been healed and delivered from leukemia without the Holy Spirit touching me. And someone praying in faith. So I thank God for Joe Woodward, who was ostracized by his denomination because he said, "I can't shut this down. I didn't start it. And I can't stop it, and I'm not trying to get anyone's sheep." There are souls being saved and people being healed and people being filled with the Holy Spirit. So I wrote in that all those years ago, I was a life that was changed because somebody obeyed God in the city of Tampa. And I was one of those lives that was touched and changed through God's healing power. I never will forget that. I'm a living example of that. So I don't debate whether God heals today. I just tell him he did it for me. And you can say anything you want to, but I'm here today. And the doctor's report of spontaneous remission, just don't cut it. Can you say, man? Because cancer just don't get up and leave. It has to be driven out by some therapy or by the supernatural power of God. And God, in my case, did it for me. And he didn't do it because I'm special. He did it because I'm special. You know what I'm saying? He didn't because he singled me out. He did it because all his children, amen, have the same standing at the foot of the cross. Oh, you didn't hear me. I said, you say, Brother Vimba, I just don't feel. Say your last name. Wow, that sounded like tongues almost out there. And you say your last name again. You ever get up in the morning and before you even sign a check or sign anything, say, "You know something? I just don't feel like a Venable today." Did you know not feeling like a Venable? I don't even try to figure out if I feel like, I don't even know. Listen, I am one. And how I feel don't make no difference. Everybody say, "I are one." You are one, praise God. Whatever. Listen, you're a Christian. You are one, praise God. And in Jesus Christ, there's no bond nor free. There's no rich nor poor. There's no male nor female. Come on, at the foot of the cross, we come into a common ground. And he loves all of us as if there was only one of us. Praise God. Amen. And God has done so much for me. And I've ministered on these things for so many years. And there's a danger of it becoming redundant and just rhetorical. I mean, you know, we all know the baby was born in the manger. I don't say we shouldn't revisit that manger. But we need to revisit with a mature understanding of what this gift meant to each and every one of us. And Paul puts it this way. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 is about Christian giving.
It's a great chapter on giving to the Lord's work and giving to needy people and just being generous and spirited. Giving to God. You know, when you give to someone in need, you do it to the Lord. When you give to His work, He honors it, praise God. He takes it personal and He says, "You've done it unto me." And Paul is talking about giving, but he doesn't promise anything to stimulate the giving in the material sense to any large degree. He says the stimulation for all of your giving before you even put one penny in the offering plate should be the 15th verse of 2 Corinthians 9. Thanks. While I'm talking to you about giving and gifts, thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift. Say it with me. His unspeakable gift. Say it again. His unspeakable gift. You know, one of the reasons I believe that God has given us the gift of being able, enabled by the Holy Spirit to speak in other tongues. Paul said, "I will sing with my understanding and I will sing with the Spirit." With my understanding of what this represents to me personally, I'll sing songs of praise to God about it. And I'll use the best vernacular and vocabulary that I can to express what I feel in my heart. But I will never be able. And I've been trying to do it for almost 40 years behind the pulpit. I've been trying to define the unspeakable and the unsearchable. Can you say amen? I've been trying to tell the untellable. My pastor used to come on at 8 going on 9. He used to come on the air, on the radio, with a theme song. I love to tell the story of unseen things above, of Jesus and His glory, of Jesus and His love. I love to tell the story, will be my theme in glory. To tell the old, old story of Jesus and His love. I still love, my brother and my sister, to tell the old, old story of Jesus and His love. Because, listen, Paul said, I don't want to know anything else. You that have those revelations that are supposed to take us beyond the cross, somewhere deeper, somewhere better, he said, forget about it. I don't want to know anything among you. Save Jesus and Him crucified. Listen to me. Much revelation without staying close to the cross can just fill you with pride. The pride of knowing. The pride of showing what you know. And Paul said there was a danger in him of becoming so lifted up above measure because of his many revelations. So he stuck with the one revelation that wouldn't cause him to be proud, but would cause him to stay humble and meek and full of joy and full of peace. I don't want to know anything among you save what? Jesus and Him crucified. You say, "Brother, remember, we've heard that message all our life. Tell us something new and different." See, that's good in the marketing of the world. Everything has to be new and what? Improved. Let me tell you something about the gospel. Jesus Christ does not need improving. The truth that He's given us doesn't need to be repackaged in some new age package to make it palatable to the world and the carnal church. Can you say amen? If the cross don't stimulate you, you're going to remain unstimulated no matter what people tell you. Can you say amen? If His death for you doesn't draw you to rekindle the love in your heart for Him, you're going to be unenthusiastic in your worship. Lackadocious in your personal devotions. You're going to let it all slip. But God is calling the church and calling us in personally back to the cross. If the cross don't excite, I love the old, old story. I'm going to tell it till Jesus comes. You know why we're on the radio, why God opened that door? Because we're not on there to promote ourselves or to promote this church. We're on there to tell the old, old story of Jesus and His love. And God is sending it to nations. You know why they're coming to our website? Because they're going to hear about Jesus and Him crucified and the victory that is ours because of what He did at the cross. Paul said, before I ask you to do anything in terms of giving yourself to God or your substance to God, I want you to be stimulated by this one thought that keeps reoccurring in Scripture. Thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift. He said, I will never be able to put into words fully what this gift means. Amen. It is unspeakable. It defies description. There is no verbiage in the human language that can describe the magnitude of the gift that has been given you. That God would become flesh. Does that do anything for you? That God would become flesh. Not just to lay in a manger and evoke sentimental feelings. He came to die. I didn't put this here just to be a centerpiece. I put it here because the cross is represented every time I see a manger. Jesus didn't come just to be a sweet baby, a peace child. Hey, listen, Jesus said, my coming, if you think it's going to bring peace on the earth, it's available to the earth. But if you think it's going to bring peace on the earth, you got me wrong. I didn't come to bring peace on the earth, but it's set at variance. Mother and father are going to butt heads over this thing. Sons and daughters and mothers and sons and fathers and sons are going to be in conflict. 1 John said, the spirit of Antichrist, it ain't holding back. It's already working. Can you say, man, not anti-God in the generic sense or anti-religion. Why? Because there's no other name given under heaven unto men by which we must be saved. Neither is there salvation in any other. Can you say, man? No wonder the spirit of the age is not just anti-God or religion or even anti-spirituality. It's anti-Christ, the Messiah, the one who came to save. And without the shedding of His innocent blood, no one could be saved. And to prove there was no sin in that blood. Amen. And it could be the sacrifice God could accept. He raised Him from the dead to seal the contract. Can you say, man? He was raised for our justification. How, if He had not been raised from the dead, then we're yet in our sins. So when I see that manger, I see the cross, the resurrection, the ascension, and the soon coming for His church. Hallelujah. Praise God. I don't just see a baby in a manger. I see the unspeakable gift of God's love. Say it with me. His unspeakable gift. And I believe one of the reasons He gave us tongues, Paul said, I will pray in the to pray in a prayer language. I will pray with my understanding. I'll pray in the spirit. But He said, I will praise the same way. I will sing with my understanding, and I will sing with the spirit. And when I can't find words to express, the Bible said, whom having not seen, you still believe, you love. Let me, with what kind of attitude? With joy? Unspeakable. Say it with me. Joy unspeakable. And what happens when there's joy that you can't speak? God said, I'll give you a language. The Holy Spirit knows how to express what you can't say, what you can't find words. Holy Spirit can do that. And I want to hear it, God says. And I want you to say it, but it's joy unspeakable. And I know you can't put it into words, but you can shela baroshala, menda da baroki andada bohusa, sela baroshala babianda da bohusa. Hallelujah. 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 I will pray with my spirit. I will pray. Oh, in some churches you suppress all of that. Amen. I wouldn't want to be there 8 going on 9 with leukemia. Amen. Waiting to die. Can you say, man, I want to be where God's Spirit is turned loose. Amen. Because it's not by might. It's not by power. I read the other day one of the great thinkers and theologians, and he was explaining the anointing of oil. And he said oil was just, it was just like going through a little something to make people feel better. You know, they rubbed oil on them, and it just gave them a sense of, you know, got a warm, cuddly feeling. Honey, cancer don't get up and leave because you get a warm, cuddly feeling. Cancer gets up and leave because a name is higher than its name that it must be submissive to. Amen. When they prayed for me, they didn't pray that I get a warm and cuddly feeling. Some panacea, amen, to help me through the pangs of death as I died with that cancer. You know, they prayed in the name of, or he prayed in the name of Jesus Christ. I don't remember his name, but I remember his name. Can you say, glory be to God? I said, I don't remember. And I owe a debt to my pastor for having a church where God could move, and to a preacher who prayed in the name of Jesus and had faith in that mighty name. Can you say amen? But I know who healed me. Make no mistake about it. It was not my pastor. And it was, listen, it was the prayer of faith. But who raises up? The Lord shall raise them up. Can you say amen? I don't know about your Lord, but my Lord is still on the throne. He's still in the saving business. He's still in the deliverance ministry. He still heals today. Hallelujah. He is King of Kings, and He is Lord of Lords. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Wow. He's a mighty God. He said, thanks be to God for His unspeakable gift. He's talking about collections or offerings, Christian giving. But he drives home one principle. He says before you put one penny into the plate, you must stop and look at what God's grace has given you. When God wants you to devote yourself to Him, He doesn't just demand it or command it. He points you to the cross and to the unspeakable gift. I beseech you, by the mercies of God. What does it mean to you for God to take on flesh so He could take your place and mine on the cross? What is it worth? What is it worth? Is it worth your tip? Is it worth your time? Is it worth your energy? Is it worth giving your heart away? Paul said, if I can't stimulate you to do it by this, he said, I'm telling you what you need to do. I'm telling you what you need to do for God to even bless you. But I'm telling you, you don't do it just to get the blessing. You do it because of what you have, not what He may give you or not give you. Thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift. I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, hallelujah, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. That means the sum total of you, your body is not just your flesh. How many know that? Everybody say bone bag. You know what your body is? It's a bone bag. If your spirit suddenly is pulled out of you, guess what's going to happen? The old bone bag is going to crumble into this floor and be a lifeless bone bag. It got bones and it's got flesh, but it ain't got no spirit and no soul anymore. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. But when you present your body, it's the container for your spirit and soul. Then God sanctifies you wholly. W-H-O-L-L-Y, spirit, soul, and body. That He might present you wholly, H-O-L-Y, completely His. Can you say amen? Nothing holding back. I beseech you by the mercies of God. The same way that He stimulated them to give of their substance, He's stimulating them to give. What's stimulating giving today? What's in it for me? Give to get. No, give because you love. And you appreciate and you appropriate the unspeakable gift. If you can describe it, you don't get it. If you think that you're theologically capable of describing this gift, you don't get it. It's unspeakable. That means you can't find any words in the human vocabulary to describe it. Only the, listen carefully to this. You only hear this at funerals, so listen close. You won't hear it again until the next funeral. Eye has not seen. Ear has not heard. It's a quote in the New Testament from the Old Covenant. What God hath prepared for them that love Him. Everybody stops right there and talks about mansions in glory. It's not about mansions in glory. It has nothing to do with streets of gold. It's a good funeral thing. But the context is not about somebody dying and going to heaven. It's about somebody here beginning to see through the eye of faith and through revelation what they really have in Jesus Christ. Can you say amen? Eye has not seen. That means in the natural, you can't get this. Amen. Ear has not heard. You can't perceive it though someone tell it to you with the natural ear. Oh, but there's a scripture that said there's another ear that can hear God speak and receive the things of God. He that hath an ear. Everybody got one and pull on it. Amen. I'm sorry that you pierced that sucker and it hurts to pull on it, but amen. Listen, it's okay. I'm not, anyway, it's fine. Baby's got them. Amen. But amen. Listen, it's not this ear. It's not this ear. He that has the ability, who has been born again, flesh and blood doesn't reveal Christ to anyone. My Father only. You heard a preacher, but God spoke beyond what the preacher was saying. Amen. And your spirit rose up and took hold of a truth that only God could reveal to you. If you're saved today, you have the capacity and the ability to receive direct, distinct revelation from God. Hallelujah. What the eye hasn't seen and the ear cannot perceive. Amen. It's never entered into the heart of man what God hath prepared for them that love Him. But He hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit. And Paul said, I've heard it, I see it. And the only way I can tell you, this gift is beyond anything that you could hope, think, imagine. It is an unspeakable gift that God would take on flesh so He could take your place at the cross and die for your sin. It ought to evoke a devotion that is beyond any of this religious brand of churchianity we see today. What's in it for me? What's in it for you is an escape from a devil's hell. What's in it for you is an entrance into God's kingdom. What's in it for you is a God that loved you enough to take on flesh, your flesh and mine, that He might take on our sin as well. Not sinning, but be treated as a sinner so that we might be set free. That is an unspeakable gift, and we should never get over it. I love to tell the story. Will be my theme in glory to tell the old, old story of Jesus and His love. Oh, Brother Venable, we want to go on to the deeper things. What is deeper than that? What's deeper than that? Oh, so-and-so had a revelation. Of what, pray tell? Oh, they saw this and they... Did they see Him on the cross? Do they get it? Is it still causing the first love to flame up in their heart? Do they have a passion for God? No, they have an attitude of, I'm spiritual. Well, goody for you. Define spiritual as I know more than you know. Amen. When Paul saw what he saw, he wasn't permitted to tell it because God didn't want anything to divert from Christ and Him crucified. There's where the greatest gift, listen, revival will never come to America because of healing. Gifts or miracles. Everyone that started that way fizzled. Every last one that started that way fizzled. Amen. Come on, way back down in history, everything just based on the gifts and even the legitimate healings of God fizzled. Can you say amen? The real revival, the lasting revival, the true revival is when the church gets a fresh revelation of Jesus on the cross, hallelujah, dying for our sin, and falls back in love with Him and reciprocates that love. Paul said, listen, first I want you to know the love that passes knowledge. Passes knowledge? See, if you think you've got it figured out, everybody go like that. You don't get it at all. If you think you're articulate enough to tell it so someone can perceive it, you don't get it. The Bible said that He wanted you to know the love that what? That is easily perceived, that you got it. Let's go somewhere else now. That's a given. No, the love that passes knowledge. Who am I that a king would bleed and die for? Honestly, doesn't do justice to what happened. It doesn't touch it like it needs to. Because it wasn't just a king, a great potentate dying for you. It was God incarnate. God, Jesus, the second person of the Godhead, left His splendor and glory, took on flesh. Hallelujah. When I see the manger, I see where He was headed. Amen. Because listen, three kings came, didn't they? Three magi came. And they brought gifts. And the first gift was gold. The gift of gold is because Jesus is and will always be King of Kings and Lord of Lords. It's the gift that is given to kings. That's why when the Queen of Sheba came to honor King David, what did she bring? Did she bring microwave ovens? Come on, what did she bring? Did she bring flat screen? I know they didn't exist back then. Just come on with me a little while. What did she bring to honor a king? She brought a camel load of gold. Because gold is a gift that even a king can be impressed by. Can you say amen? Come on, she brought a caravan of gold to honor what? A king. So the first gift was gold. And the second gift was to honor him as the great high priest that he is and always will be. Can you say, man, that ever lives to make intercession, that started that ministry on the cross? Can you say, man, interceding, Father, forgive them. And they brought frankincense. Can you say, man, that was burned in the temple, one of those spices that is burned as a sweet-smelling savor. And the Bible said when Jesus gave his life so willingly, it became a sweet-smelling savor to God. It pleased him to bruise him, not because he delighted in seeing his son hurt, but he looked past his son's hurt and saw our salvation. And he said through this, the death of my son and his and my sacrifice, all of these people that were lost, all these fallen subjects of Adam's race can be saved. Oh, thank God, Brother Taylor, for the unspeakable gift. I am just not so impressed with the spectacle that is going to be put on. Oh, wasn't that beautiful? No, isn't he beautiful? Isn't he wonderful? There's no spectacle anybody can put on. You can have I've seen churches had camels come in. And the camel comes in walking down the aisle. And everybody said, wow, there's a camel. That's a real, I can't believe walking down the aisle of our church is a real camel. And here's a mule or a donkey. Look at that donkey. Look what he just did on our carpet after I cleaned it last Sunday. Oh, yeah, they do go on carpets. Them things, they don't. That's right. Don't bring them down the aisle if you can't handle it. It's beautiful. Nothing wrong with that. I like that, in fact. I like the spectacle. But if you don't see the beauty of what he did when he came to go to the cross for you, all you're going to do is be religiously entertained. And after it's over, the first love is going to be burning a bit brighter in your heart than it was before it began. Ah, but if you get a glimpse of the glory of what he actually did to save you and me, the first love will be rekindled. And when the first love is rekindled, revival has begun. Revival in the church begins with the rekindling of the first love. Rekindling of the first love leads us to repentance of dead works. Amen. But it doesn't start with repentance for dead works. It starts with the rekindling of the first love. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. In fact, it starts by doing the first works, according to the book of Revelation. You know what your first works were? It's doing. Yeah, you love to come to church. That's one of them. It's doing what you did when you loved Jesus the most. Everybody say, doing what I did when I loved Jesus the most. You don't wait for a pillar of fire to come. You don't wait for him to come and bop you over the head. Amen. You just start doing what you did when you loved Jesus the most. The only thing I knew need to do to get this woman to respond to me is start doing what I did when I loved her the most, taking those opportunities to give her the hug. I hugged her this morning. I knew I was going to preach on this, and she's going to look at me hard if I didn't get it right before I got here. I came up behind her, and I caught her. Give her a hug. Amen. But I didn't do it just because of a sermon. I want to remember to stimulate love in her for me. I want to do my first works. It's how the first love is rekindled. Amen. Repentance is not just godly sorrow. It's beginning to do what we've been left undone. And you say, Brother Bimble, I don't feel what I used to feel. This is not about your feelings. Come on. Especially Pentecostals, you got to move. You got to move. You may be high, you may be low, but when the Lord gets ready, honey, the Lord's been ready for 2,000 years ever since the day of Pentecost, and there's still people ain't on the move for God. You don't have to move. You can just sit in your room, in your gloom, and ponder doom if you want to. There's a whole lot of company there. Misery loves company. Can you say amen? But if you want to get out of that old rut, Start doing what you used to do when you loved Jesus the most. You say, Brother Bimble, I don't feel nothing yet. Oh, the feeling's going to come. But it's not going to come while you sit and wait for it. It's going to come when you start doing what you know that you ought to be doing because He's worthy of what you're doing it for. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. He doesn't become worthy of your devotion when you feel like it. He's worthy of your devotion. Oh, by the way, how many here are still employed by somebody? You earn a paycheck by working. Wave at me. It's okay. All right? You always feel like going to work? You don't? You mean you don't sit and say, well, you know, I ain't going. I'm calling in. I'm going to tell them I just don't feel like coming. Okay, that's great. Honey, we got a lot. You know how many men are out of work right now would love to have your job? We just love to have what you hate so much. Amen? We just love to have an income, let alone your salary and benefits. The boss? Yeah. Yeah, me too. Ha ha. Yeah. I'd rather go to work. I could punch out when I went to work. Now they know I'm available. I can't punch out anymore. You don't wait for a feeling. You do it. But when you do it unto the Lord, it's different. When you do it unto the Lord, something begins to happen in your heart. Something begins to rekindle. I have somewhat against you. You've left your first love. Repent and do your first works. So repentance is not just godly sorrow. It's just starting to do what you were left undone. It's not waiting for something to happen. It's making something happen. It's becoming active in serving God again. Everybody say, serving Him. Like I did when I loved Him the most. Do you remember when you loved Him the most? Anybody remember the first love? Do you remember the first love? You haven't got old-timers disease, have you? Can you say amen? Some people never got it. Maybe you're being honest. Maybe you never had the first love. You can't rekindle what you never had. No wonder you're in the pickle you're in. God wants you to see this thing. He wants you to appreciate this thing. He wants a devotion to come. And Paul said, I don't want you to put anything in anything for any other reason but responding and reciprocating to the unspeakable gift of God's Son. Amen? How many know the Bible said don't give? And I'm talking about giving your devotion to God, not just giving your money. Amen. Don't give grudgingly. And don't do it out of necessity, but willingly. Because God says, I'm after your heart, not just your wallet. And I hope you're after my kingdom and not just the things of the world. Can you say amen? Everybody say thank God for the unspeakable gift. I preached for years along this vein. And we're going to close this morning with a particular 6-minute video. They finally took an illustration that I've used for almost 40 years and they put it into film to begin to help us. This is an unspeakable gift because this can't do justice to it. But when a father sacrifices his son to save others, we're beginning to get a glimpse, just a very small glimpse of what God has done on that first Christmas day. For it said, for unto us a Savior is born, and for unto us a Son is given. When God sent Him into that manger in the heart of God, He was already on that cross. Can you say amen? He gave Him to die for us. Because if He hadn't went to that cross, all His teaching, all His preaching, all His miracles, and the beauty and the miracle of the virgin birth would not have saved anybody in this world. He had to make the journey from the cradle to the cross. And He did. He set His face like a flint. Can you say amen? To carry it out and carry it through. And what held Him to that cross was love for you and me. And there's so many people not only in the world oblivious of what He did, but there's a lot of people sitting in church with cold hearts and callous souls that do not ever, they're not moved by what He has done. And we need to remember the works of His hands. Can you say amen? And rekindle the first love. This little short film, and this is just excerpts from The Bridge, is a story that has been told many times from many pulpits, and this one included, to illustrate the love of God. It's a true story. I want you to think about it as we close today. Hallelujah. It's okay. Thank you, Father. What's it worth to you? I can tell you all the commands of God. I can tell you what the Lord requires of you from His Word. What's He worth to you? Right here, right now. Not what He used to be worth, but what is His value? Right here, right now. We can have programs designed to try to stimulate you to come to church. I refuse to do that. Because if God don't have your heart, all we have is a head count in here. It's all we got. If you don't have a heart for church, why should I try to pry you away from the things you truly love? I'm praying that you'll fall back in love with Jesus. That it'll have meaning and priority in your life again. I can preach kingdom blessings and try to stimulate you by acquiring these blessings to put the kingdom first. But putting the kingdom first is not just so you can get the kingdom blessings, even though they're very real. God requires your heart. He wants your heart back. He wants you to love Him like you used to love Him. So He shows you His love, His grace, and the wonder of it. Hallelujah. I want, in this moment of quietness, I want to ask how many people in this room feel that there's room in your heart for the love for Jesus to grow. There's still growing room in your heart for love and devotion for Jesus Christ. Can I see your hand today? Do you think He's worth the effort? Do you think He's worth the time? Whatever you invest for Him is worth all of it and so much more. Hallelujah. If that catches hold of your heart today, you're going to have a wonderful Christmas regardless of your circumstances, and I am too. And this is going to be a banner year for serving God. Can you say amen? Because we're going to serve Him for the right reason. Oh, how I appreciate the song that you sung this morning. Can you say amen? Because it goes along with exactly what the Lord is saying to us today. Keep on seeking Him. You're going to find Him when you seek after Him like you used to with all of your heart. He hasn't given up on you. He loves you. He gave His Son for you. The only thing out of biblical order in this parable here of true happening made into a film is that Jesus didn't go accidentally to the cross. He was the Lamb slain when? From the foundation of the world. God said, if I'm going to give man a sovereign free will, I've got to build in a safety net. Because He can blow it. He can put His eternal soul in jeopardy. And it's too precious to lose. So I'm going to put a safety net. When I make man, there's going to be a safety net in place. If he sins, if he makes Satan his God, I'm going to make a way for him to be redeemed. A way for him to be ransomed. Hallelujah. In my mind, in my heart, from day one, there's a lamb going to be provided. A redeemer. It's going to come. And He has come here, O Israel. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. I love you today. I want you to have a great Christmas, but I don't. It's not about the turkey or the ham. Enjoy that. It's time to celebrate. We should out-celebrate the world. We got something better than they have to celebrate. Can you say amen? But hold on to Jesus. If you're away from God, come back to God. Amen. Serve Him like you used to when you loved Him the most. Praise God. And it won't be long till you'll feel something warm in your heart. You go back to reading that Bible, you'll feel something rekindle in your soul. Get back in the house of God consistently. Every chance you get, God's anointing will challenge you and change you. Praise God. Amen. It won't be long before you'll feel Jesus reaching down and embracing you, and you'll be reaching up and embracing Him again. Hallelujah. Praise God. Are you glad you came today?
Yes.
Glory to God. We are too.
Let's close with a song. You have to dart out, you may. I'm glad you stayed for the end and for the film. Would you stand with us today? Praise the Lord. This sounds like a traditional hymn, but it goes into high praise after a while. Praise the Lord. God is good today. Let's give Him praise in this place. Would you stand with me? I want you to shake somebody's hand. Right now, you can either leave or stay for the song. But we're glad you came. Are you glad you came?
Yes.
Hallelujah. Are you going to have a spiritual Christmas this year? Glory to God. Are you going to love on Jesus? Celebrate His birthday. We only have one service. It's going to be a quick one. I'm not going to preach just like I did today. Hallelujah. No, it will not be this long. I promise. Amen. Because there's lots of things doing. We're going to spend about 45 minutes of praise, and they're going to sing the songs. We're going to go with just a praise. If we cancel church on His birthday, what's the point? What are we celebrating? Amen. Well, I need time with my family. You mean your family doesn't need to know how important this day is to their faith? Come on. All they need to know about His presence and Santa Claus and food? They don't need to know how precious Jesus is?